we found out that no co-man would allow us to have Living Yogurt leave their facility. So that was a deal breaker for me and everybody else.
I'm your host, Dave Knox, and this is Predicting the Turn, a show that helps business leaders meet their industry's inevitable disruption head on.
Welcome to another episode of Predicting the Turn. Today, we sit down with the founders of Coconut Cult. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
We're lucky enough to be joined by two of you. So we have the founder and the CEO for the business. So start off, can you guys each introduce yourselves, and then we'll kick it off from there?
My name is Noah Simon Waddell. And I started making yogurt in my mom's kitchen several years ago. And somehow it's now become a real business here. And yeah, Ari, you want to intro yourself?
So my name is Ari Roz. In 2015, I co-founded a baby food brand called Once Upon a Farm here in San Diego. And I was president of the brand through August 2021. That's when I left Once Upon a Farm to join the Coconut Cult as CEO.
So Noah, you're the originator of this. As you said, you started making yogurt in your mom's kitchen. But what was it that really led you to start doing that and to turn this into a brand?
It started with me struggling with my health. I think I had a lot of inflammatory issues and they were widespread. And I would go to my doctor and I would basically just get prescribed steroids to deal with the different things that were inflamed. And it was just, it went on for a while. And steroids are great at addressing one issue, but they also have other negative side effects. And I started to question why we weren't trying to figure out what was actually causing the inflammation, like why it was happening. So I basically took my health into my own hands. And my assumption was that it was what I was eating that was causing all of the inflammation. So I decided that after a few weeks of trying to cut out individual things and not really noticing any difference, I decided to do a 180 and to own all of the food that I would eat. So I started, stopped buying any packaged food, and I stopped going out and eating prepared food. And I started making all of my own food. I basically did the standard things of I stopped eating processed sugar. I stopped eating the usual types of flours and breads, and I cut out dairy. So I was making my own cheese, milk, yogurt out of almonds and coconuts and trying different things and making yogurt at home. And I realized that the yogurt that I was making at home was really different than any of the yogurt that I'd had before from a grocery store. I was also deciding to stop taking the steroids that were had become a regular part of my life. And I was sourcing specific probiotic strains for specific medicinal functionalities, mostly to get rid of inflammation. And I had this idea of I'm going to culture the specific medicinal probiotic strain into the homemade yogurt and multiply and grow what I was taking as a medicine. And when I started doing that, I really noticed, wow, this yogurt is more powerful, it's more tangy. And when I eat it, I feel stronger, I feel healthier, my digestion gets better. So it was like just a moment of, oh my goodness, like I'm making something I've never had before. I'm not quite sure if this is available for me to buy, if I wanted to buy it, but it just really seemed to help with my journey of getting healthier, being stronger, having better digestion, feeling like my immune system was getting stronger. So I passed it around to friends and family. I think a lot of people even then really struggled with some type of digestive, and the majority of people are like, wow, this is doing something for me. This is helping my stomach. This is making me feel stronger. Like I have energy after this helps. So I was just like, oh my goodness. Like I accidentally stumbled into making something that really has value and really is helping people and isn't really available for someone to buy. I think it just allowed it to grow into a business, though I didn't really have any business background. And I basically came from, I guess, a family or like a background of like not loving the general energy behind business or sales or just doing business for the sake of making money, or how manipulative advertising can be. So I came up with this idea of, okay, if I'm actually going to start a business, how can I start an anti-business? Could I start a cult tongue-in-cheek? And could I do everything forward-facing in a way that would allow me to avoid having to behave like I'm an entrepreneur and like I'm starting a business and trying to sell people things, which was good and bad. I think like my experience in not really having a business background led me to wanting to find friends and people that really had that talent and that knowledge and the abilities and skills that I didn't really have, which is basically how Ari has gotten involved, because he's everything that I'm not.
So let's transition and talk about that. As the business started growing in those early years, when did you decide that it was time to bring in somebody that could be your partner as a CEO? And how did the two of you get connected?
The business has some extra complexities. Yogurt is such that you can't really trust a co-manufacturer to make yogurt for you, especially with wanting a live yogurt. So I think we tried to see if we could grow using a co-man, like a lot of food businesses do. And we found out that no co-man would allow us to have living yogurt leave their facility. So that was a deal breaker for me and everybody else. So that meant that we had to own our own facility and build out and scale and level up yogurt making factories in living yogurt making factories, planning deep into the future, business projections and modeling, and really figuring out how to project what exactly we needed money for and what money was going to be spent on, and how to build a team and how to not just put an org chart together, but how to know what the right pieces we needed for our specific business to put in the org chart and then make everything fluidly. Those were all things that I was struggling with. And I was told, like, Noah, you're great at some things, but as your business is going to get bigger, you're going to need somebody who does a lot of the things that you're not doing a fantastic job at, and continuing to try and break the model in ways that maybe you shouldn't try to break the model in every way. So I started trying to put my feelers out for someone in the industry who would have like great CEO experience and abilities that was out there and would also fit the vibe of the coconut cult and be a great CEO to everybody that was already part of the business. So I think Ari was one of these people that we met as friends, as industry friends. And I think pretty quickly it was obvious that he really gelled with energy that we already had in the business, but also was quickly becoming like the go-to phone call, an expert of what should I do talking to this investor, or what should I do trying to figure out self-manufacturing, or who do I need to hire for this person? And then it was like, okay, let's just see if Ari wants to do this full time.
So you mentioned self-manufacturing and not really being able to rely on co-packers for kind of the uniqueness of the product. As the business has continued to grow, how have you embraced that, and what opportunities, but also challenges, has that path of self-manufacturing led you down?
So this is Ari, by the way. So self-manufacturing, not an easy road for an entrepreneurial venture. If you were to have asked me before I started at Coconut Cult, if I would recommend self-manufacturing as a path for a business that was very small, I would have probably said, if you have no other choices but to self-manufacture in the early days, go for it. But as soon as you get some level of scale, move your manufacturing to a co-manufacturer. And the reason why I thought that was the best way forward is because, A, that was my experience with Once Upon a Farm. We've always co-manufactured. But also, I've just heard a lot of horror stories about things that can go wrong when you grow your own manufacturing, and the additional investment involved to build and scale facilities, the risk you take on by owning the manufacturing, owning the HACCP plan, and being, you know, liable for everything that leaves your facility 100% is, it's a lot of risk. It's a little bit more scary than relying on a co-packer to do a lot of that for you. And frankly, there's hundreds and hundreds of great co-packers across the country that do phenomenal work for many brands. The coconut cult is a unique case, as Noah mentioned, and this is something that I considered when I joined as CEO. Is this a product that could be co-packed? We did have conversations with co-packers in the early days when I joined. And one thing that I learned is that if the coconut cult truly wants to make yogurt the way that it wants to make yogurt, which is packaged in glass jars, not pasteurized after fermentation, and specifically after fermentation, we do a blend of our ingredients to create the different flavors of our yogurt because we don't resort to using natural flavors. So we can't ferment a freeze-dried strawberry powder with our yogurt base. That has to be blended in after fermentation, as an example. That's an extra step that no yogurt manufacturer wants to deal with. If we wanted to continue making this phenomenal yogurt with our method, we had to be the ones to take the burden of self-manufacturing on our shoulders and continue that throughout the lifespan of the business. So again, when I first started to work with the team, I brought on a chief operating officer who has experience scaling facilities, specifically on the logistics side. He had his own 3PL, but he also was able to learn very quickly about food manufacturing and what it would take to scale the production of our products. For the past, again, I've been with this business for about 2.5 years. And, you know, I'd say about a year in, then the realization that we were going to be running up on capacity limitations out of the facility we had in San Luis Obispo, California, dawned on us very quickly. And we started to try to figure out how we were going to build scale into our manufacturing. That actually was solidified in December of 2022, when we signed a lease for a brand new 55,000 square foot facility in Ogden, Utah, which at the time was a crazy idea because the company's always been based in California, but our COO had experience in Salt Lake and had lived in Salt Lake and had done research both in Salt Lake and Nevada, but determined Salt Lake, specifically an area called Ogden, would be the best place for us to open up a facility, both in terms of getting the best freight rates from whether it's ingredients coming inbound to outbound via FedEx or via various carriers to distribution centers across the country, as well as price per square foot for the facility itself. Everything really just made so much more sense in Utah compared to California. And while when we signed the lease, we didn't really necessarily need 55,000 square feet, that amount of space, right? That's what we really needed to be able to start to realize, okay, now we're going to have the space to really scale and really map this out to this. So right now we're operating out of that facility. And let me say this, we're not at scale yet, but we have within the same 55,000 square foot footprint, a plan to get us to about over 6 times the amount of yogurt that we can produce in a day compared to where we are today. And when I joined the business compared to today, we are making about 9 times the amount of yogurt per day than we were making when I first stepped into the role of CEO. So we've made massive improvements in capacity to get to this point today. And we have now real plans that we are realizing in real time over the next 12 to 14 months that will get us another 6x increase.
Talent is a big part of predicting the turn. And as we talk about talent, I wanted to mention one of our sponsors, Hunt Club. Imagine the power of the best marketers in the world helping you to find your next marketing leader. That's the power of Hunt Club. Hunt Club is a new category of talent company that powers the network of experts, connectors, and business leaders to help you find the best talent. Let's face it, recruiting hasn't changed with the times. Hunt Club is changing the recruiting game by leveraging technology and crowdsourced referrals to find you the best people possible for your company. Stop paying job boards that don't work or recruiting firms that recycle the same active candidates. Partner with Hunt Club.
So when you think about that capacity that you've increased, you need to have the sales that go with it and drive that awareness. And there's been a ton of change in the yogurt aisle, and you guys have such a unique product. How do you communicate that message out to the general public that maybe isn't scanning the aisle and isn't sure what sets coconut cult apart?
I think that we have a unique approach that's maybe was very timely. I think while I didn't have a lot of business experience, I had some social media experience. So instead of having to figure out how to run ads or market or drive trial, I've really leaned into trying just to build a community on Instagram and on TikTok. And that's really the thing that drives all of our sales and growth and trial is just organic social media. That's from an approach of we're people, I'm a person, everybody that works for us, we're a family, and our product is unique and it's a very powerful and important product to a lot of people. And I think a community grew around the love of this yogurt and the appreciation for the food principles of really wanting clean ingredients and living functional foods. And we had a program where it was like every month we would make a unique fun flavor and drop it on our website. And like the fun flavors that we would make really, for whatever reason, really went viral a lot of the times. So that was really great at getting us in front of new faces and then allowing us to explain the differentiation of our yogurt to the other yogurt that is for sale in the store. And there's just a really powerful community that loves our yogurt. And it's just really powerful. You can make videos about a fun new flavor drop and sell a lot of yogurts. You can make a video about launching in a new retailer and drive a tremendous amount of people to that new retailer out of excitement for your product now being available to them where it wasn't before, out of love for your product and wanting to just actively be a supporter of what you're doing. And I think out of real authentic human connection, where if you do organic social media, you're as a human connecting to other humans out there. You're not as a business trying to be like, buy my chips. They have yada and this fun thing, and here's some pictures of the chips. Like at the origin of social media was created as like early Facebook, or at least it was community building. It was a place where let's figure out how to create an online community for people to interact. And I think that's really where social media can be really powerful. I think business came in and tried to figure out how to use it for marketing and advertising and stuff like that. But I think we've really been great at creating a community, a space for a community, and really engaging with a lot of people online. And that's, I think, why we're growing so much. And I think it's a tribute to our product, which it's not just a yogurt. It's not just calories, that it's a product that we've made that really has a big impact on the health and wellness of a lot of our customers. And they experience that for themselves and they want to share that and they want to create a value around that, which has really been so helpful because our product is significantly more expensive than any other comparable yogurt, stuff like that. But it's instead of us having to be like, here's why our yogurt is so expensive. It's just, there's just an army of people that know, understand and want to share this information and their personal experiences and like their love for the yogurt that we make. And following us along on this journey of growth and figuring out how to make more yogurt and how to get it into more stores and how to get the price a little more affordable and how to get a new flavor into a store, that it doesn't feel like we have the usual dilemma or usual like thing that a business in this position would have to do of figuring out how to drive trial or figuring out how to grow sales. It's just happening because there's a need for this yogurt and we figured out how to build a lot of relationships with our customers.
So you just mentioned a few of the how do yous, the things that are on the list. When you think about the vision for Coconut Cult and where the brand goes in the next year to two, what's on that list and how are you going to tackle it?
From day one, when I joined the Coconut Cult, I knew from my experience at Once Upon a Farm how important it is to never really be satisfied with the current state of things. And you always have to think ahead, a few steps ahead, a few years ahead. In the case of Coconut Cult, there are a few things that I really wanted to get the ball rolling on from the day I joined. I'm happy to say that over time, it's taken a little bit longer to get to this point than I thought it would, but I couldn't be happier with where we are as a business. And knowing how strong our business is today, where things will be able to go from here, now that we're getting in this mode of, okay, now we have the much larger facility, now we can make more yogurt, we're scaling production. What else can we do? What other challenges can we take on to grow? And as Noah said, there's an appetite out there already, a very strong appetite for more products from us. Simply put, we are launching a brand refresh across all our jars and our website. This brand refresh is something that we've been working on for the last 18 months, realistically. We have an incredible creative director that Noah brought in the early days named Jung Ho Oh, and he is an incredible designer. He designs, up to this day, he's designed all of the labels that we put out, whether it's on a shelf or something we drop on our website as a limited flavor. We contracted and worked with a branding agency for this brand refresh, and it was the one agency in the country that Jung Ho felt aligned with enough to work with. And they created this incredible refresh for us that we'll be launching on shelves in May. And I personally know the power of not just a brand refresh, but a brand refresh done well, what that can do to incentivize trial, give your brand more, just help it stand out more on shelf, make it a little bit more attractive to new users and make it more interesting in a sense. So that's what this is going to accomplish for us. Beyond that, in the background, we're always looking for ways to not only improve existing products, and we ask ourselves questions like, how can we make our strawberry taste even more strongly like strawberry? Like, how can we make our strawberry the best possible strawberry yogurt on the planet? And what refinements can we make to our recipes to make sure that we are indeed, if we put a product out in the market, creating 10 out of 10 products consistently? And we reformulated our strawberry, which I believe accomplishes that. And that's rolling out right now. Beyond that, we have an incredible innovation coming out that we'll be launching later this year. Unfortunately, I can't tell you too much about it yet, but it's something that we've also been working on for the last 18 months, something we'll be manufacturing in-house. And it's really our way of bridging that gap between, say, a customer who buying our yogurt at $10 a jar for an 8-ounce jar, and maybe somebody who's really interested in trying our yogurt, but are a little bit scared about by that price point and really aren't ready to spend that kind of money to try a product from the Coconut Cult. We're finally going to have a product launching on shelves that will be able to bring in those customers as well. And that's really just the beginning of what is a very long-term innovation plan within the company to continue to grow and roll out new items that will not lose the quality of our product, the functionality of our product, the flavor of our product, but will allow us to create products that can reach more people at more accessible price points.
Whenever you do a brand refresh, the challenge is making sure your current customers can find you and know where you are and know that something's different. How are you going to tackle that with making the current people that love Coconut Cult know that it's the same thing, same great product, same great everything they love?
That's a good question. I think we have some good things about our product, which it's like in these very recognizable glass jars, and there's almost no other glass jar in the yogurt set. So It's still going to be in the same place, in the same recognizable glass jar. I think part of the rebrand, why we wanted to do the rebrand, is when early days we created this really cool, very kind of culty design of a flamingo eating a coconut. And that was very, but I guess the kids would say iconic. And we like, we're like, ooh, this is a catchy thing. So we slapped that front and center on all of our labels. And then in tiny words over it, we wrote the coconut cult, which was really cool. And a lot of people do recognize that logo of ours. But as we grew, we realized that we were missing out on having the name of coconut cults like easy to read or recognizable from someone like walking past the shelf. You really couldn't read it. So I think this rebrand that we've done has really been strategic in really wanting to say coconut cult in a big way, front and center. So I think maybe it's going to look different, but I think anybody who comes anywhere near these jars is going to get hit over the head with coconut cult. And I think they're going to realize that it's the same amazing yogurt in slightly more grown up packaging. And we have a couple cool new flavors coming out with the rebrand that people are very unique to us and people already love, such as Orange Dreamsicle that no other yogurt brand is making. So we're going to have a Coconut Cult Orange Dreamsicle, Coconut Cult Chocolate Mousse, flavors that nobody else does. So we're counting on people seeing it and knowing what it is still. And I, of course, will do my best to make some videos and get the word out and get the excitement up, because the rebrand is beautiful and it's cool and it's culty. And I think people are going to be, in general, kind of excited about it.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure kind of learning more about Coconut Cult and the amazing yogurt you guys are bringing to the masses. So thank you for taking the time.
Our pleasure, Dave.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, hit that rating and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And for more resources, head over to predictingtheturn.com.